Good morning. The reading comes from John 15, 9 through 17. Just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lie down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This command you that you love one another. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day. Good to see everyone this morning. Well, the title of this lesson is In His Tender Care, and I think hopefully that title depicts our Father God, that we're in His tender care. This being Father's Day, I think that's an appropriate title. I was watching, as I sometimes do, watch these reels on Facebook, and here's this man sitting in a chair outside of a gas station, and this little dog comes wandering up to him. The caption says, a stray dog, and he reaches down and he pets the dog on top of its head. It was a cute little dog too, and I'm sure this was AI generated, but the concept is there. The little dog jumps up in the lap of the man and puts his head in the man's chest, and the man wraps his arms around the little dog. And the little dog's, just in the person's imagination here, is looking for someone to bring him comfort. That's the picture I get when I think of Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, being comforted by Abraham, which I believe to be Jesus. Everyone is searching for comfort. And I think this is one of the things that I want to emphasize, I guess, from this lesson is comfort. Searching for comfort. We want to be comforted. But I'm taking it from Psalm chapter 22, verses 9 through 11. This is where the lesson will come from. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. I think one of the most important lessons, and I think an expectation that God has taught all of us, is that we are to care for those, particularly care for those who cannot care for themselves. A mother, despite we have few instances of neglect, but a mother just naturally has an instinct to care for their child. And that's true with a father as well, a natural instinct to care for their child. It's a natural occurrence for parent-child and parent-child relationships. And that continues throughout life. It never stops. I tell my youngest daughter that she is still my baby. She doesn't like that, but I tell her that anyway. She's a nurse. She's a business owner. She's an accountant. She's done a lot of things in her life. She has two children. She's married. She's a wonderful girl, and she's 36 years old, and I still tell her that you're still my baby, and I love you. So it never ends. It never ends. David understood that God had been with him from the very beginning. And I think David understood that God will be there no matter what throughout my entire life. He says, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while I was on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. So God's care, which is important for us to see, I think, is fraught with heartache. It's fraught with heartache. It's fraught with disappointment. Because so often we fail in his sight. Sometimes we reject him through sin. However, there's never been a time, and I believe this wholeheartedly, 100%, that God is not near. Despite all those things, we are still in his constant care. And one of the reasons why is because, not just because of his love, but because God is so patient. And he has something that I struggle with. He is steadfast in that patience. But he watches us from time to time fail, but he never gives up. And you know something about God that I don't maybe give consideration enough about is that God is a leader. We cannot have a greater leader than God. He is a leader. We want to be led. Some don't know it, but they want to be led. We want to be led by someone that loves us and comforts us. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 tells us that God is a leader, and we'll miss it if we don't pay close attention to it. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, talking about God, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God is a leader, and he has a direction for us to take. So a major role in our Christian life is to live with a mindset that we need to be a leader, we need to be patient, we need to be steadfast because trouble comes. I always thought my dad was one that could handle just about anything. He always seemed like he was ready, prepared. He was always steadfast. And you know, they struggled financially. My parents struggled. My dad worked, I know at one time, for weeks upon weeks, would work 70 hours and little to show for it. But his steadfast resolve and his patience and his leadership was always there. Always. Your sister, I seen your sister this past week. Well, I guess it was last Sunday. And she looked at me and she said, every time I see you boys, I always think of your dad. And some of the things that she said were just what I just said, because he was so kind and caring. Despite whatever was going on, he was always kind and he was caring. And that's an epitome of a description of my dad. I want to be like that. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We are to be consistent and consistently patient. We are to be a constant giver, or caregiver, I should say. Romans chapter 12, verse 13, and what a perfect opportunity to give. When we've seen some of the things that people have endured not far from us with this tornado that just happened in Fayette County and Coles County, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. We say that patience is a virtue, but it's also a Christian caretaker's way of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, and I found this to be an interesting, to me, I thought this was a perfect spot for this verse. You may look at it and say, well, what's that got to do with patience and being a virtue? What's that have to do with being a caretaker? What's that have to do with being steadfast? It says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. And what I learned from that and what I think about that is when I think about being a patient leader, a Christian leader, I think to myself, how we deal with other people reflects on what we truly are like, what our true nature is, because we want to reflect God, and God is patient, and God has tender care. When we care for our children and we think about this, it requires a lot of decision making. When they're young, we have to make decisions for them. As my children get older, I still find that I feel like, even though they don't listen, that I'm still trying to make decisions for them. We know what's best for them when they're young, or for that matter, anyone that we have charge of. My wife has been at the same place for how long? 45 years? 46 years. 46 years. Whew, that's a long time. And she's been a caregiver. I don't know as so much one-on-one as it had been at one time or whatever, but she still is, her occupation is to care for people that can't care for themselves, to make plans so that they can live and function in their life the best that they can. And that's truly being a caregiver, because someone that can't care for themselves, you're trying to help. And that's where children are a lot of times. They're too young to make decisions, and I think I'm getting ahead of myself, but they're too young to make some of the decisions they make. And we see young people today at a really young age making, we want to say adult decisions, but people with sense would not make those decisions. They're too young to make decisions. They don't have the maturity. They don't have the experience. And yet we let our children so often live in autonomy without parental direction. The role of parents and grandparents who love their children to the end is to be a constant caregiver. And I can tell you, and I can attest, that that's difficult. So we wonder what really means to be a caregiver. What does it mean to be a caregiver? One thing I know from being a caregiver is that it takes a lot of work. And sometimes it takes just constant work that's repetitive. I think we can understand that concept and translate it into human relationships from the very first caregivers that were ever placed on the earth, Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve were created, they were put where? Where did they live? The Garden of Eden. What did God tell them to do in that garden? There you go, this is yours. Don't worry about it. What did he tell them? He said, to tend and keep it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And you know, I think that's an interesting thing, because that meant, to me, that means that even though God created this utopia, so to speak, Garden of Eden, that it still needed to be cared for. They still had things they had to take care of. And then that makes me think in my mind, and maybe I got a feeble mind, I don't know, which I'm sure I do, but in my feeble mind, I think to myself, there's a couple of things that are really important from that concept. First of all, what would have happened to the Garden of Eden had they not, had they just left it go, let it go? It couldn't care for itself. And so, as Adam learned the hard way, being a caregiver of the land is hard work. It takes a lot of work. It takes constant and repeated attention. What would happen to a baby or a toddler if the child's parents did not tend to that baby or toddler's needs? What would happen to that child? I'm asking you. You can answer. What do you think would happen? Would they be able to go out and take care of themselves? Would a baby be able to take care of itself? Would a toddler be able to take care of itself? I got grandchildren, I'm going to mess up their ages, 5, 6, 7 years old. I don't think they could take care of themselves. They may be able to figure out where to go to get some help, but they couldn't take care of themselves. A toddler or a baby left unattended would die. That's an important concept about being a caregiver. So, and a parent needs not only to take care of that child's physical needs, but a parent needs to take care of that child's psychological needs, because they are growing into both at the same time. A baby and toddler would die.